It's a new year, and people wish for all kinds of things. People wish you well. They wish you good luck. Of all the things that people wish for the new year, I like the often made wish of a happy and healthy new year. And that's not only what I wish for us as a congregation, but it's what I'm hoping and praying and actually working for 2017. And it's with that prayer in mind that over the next several weeks, the messages that I'll be sharing will be meant to encourage us to gather together and to grow together so that we could go together, okay? Now, history says that our congregation's founding day is November 18th, 1956. And we started out front, of course, in a small church building that the Lord blessed. And we eventually expanded upon that and then built our current place of worship. And we didn't slow down. All right, history again and photographs and folks from that time tells us that we had it on and we dreamed big and we worked hard and the Lord was good to us. The last 2 years, though, have been a little hard on us. And this past year has been one of our more difficult years. But here's the thing. Even though our past history is important, both the good and the bad, what we do and who we are in the present is what will determine what the future brings. Okay? Or even if we have a future as a congregation, I believe we will. Think about it. Every congregation, I mean every congregation, no matter who it is only one generation really away from extinction. You don't have to be small to face that. You could be large. See, there's absolutely no guarantee that anyone will be around in 20 or 5 or a year from now. And that doesn't matter if it's us or someone across town or what. And some people might think, well, hey, you know, that might be kind of good. Another way is that could be bad, you know? Still, if there's one thing that never changes, well, that's change. Change will happen. But how we change is really up to us. It's up to you and me and the person sitting next to you, or maybe across the row if there's no one next to you, okay? So what are our goals and dreams for this congregation? What are our principles and our convictions and our values? And just as important, what are our methods and our processes for carrying out our principles and conviction and values in order to achieve our goals? Well, those are all very good questions, right? Those are very important questions that we need to continually evaluate against Scripture. And then communicate to the body of Christ those things so that we can be of one mind and purpose, get things done. That's because in order to be the church that we read about in the New Testament, in order to be the church that belongs to Jesus Christ, we need to build upon the foundation of Christ that was already laid, just like the Apostle Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 19 through 22. There he tells the Christians there that consequently you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household or family. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. He says, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you, speaking about the Christians there, the church, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And so as we think about our health and our dreams and our goals, it's always important to remember to build upon the foundation of Christ and to work toward being a healthy and growing church like God wants us to be. Now, I know that we've been a little slow in the growth department, but that can change. Remember, change is the only thing that's constant. Change changes. Still, we need to be careful that we don't give too much attention to our numbers, because numbers are only one criteria for evaluating where we are. You see, there are other important ways to measure the health of our church family. Think about it. If you go to the doctor and he only measures your health based upon how much you weigh, without checking the other things like blood pressure, your heart, lungs, reflexes, so on, maybe runs a test or two, well, then it isn't fair if he gives you a health assessment and says, well, you weigh 250, you're gonna die, you know? Oh, come on, you know, because you can weigh the perfect weight and have a heart disease or cancer or some other illness, okay? So you just can't go by a number. But what does a healthy church look like? There's a good question. Well, let's take a look at when the church first began, in Acts chapter 2. Over in Acts chapter 2, Peter preaches the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost after Jesus' resurrection, and 3,000 responded to the invitation to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, in verse 38. And then we read, starting in verse 42, that this group of people gathered together as the assembly of God's people, as the church belonging to Jesus Christ, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so we see right here that when the church was born, it was born healthy and strong. And so what I want us to do is to think about what it means to be a healthy church, like the church we read about here in Acts chapter 2. And that's important to think about when we start to dream big or set goals, because we want to make sure that whatever dreams or whatever goals we set will help us to be like the church that we read about here in God's Word. So with that in mind, let's briefly look at just four things this morning that we will need to pay attention to in order to be a healthy church in 2017. The first thing is that growth in all areas is important in order to be a healthy church in 2017. See, the truth is, a church won't grow for very long if numbers, again, are all they care about. Now, don't get me wrong. The Lord doesn't want anyone to perish and all to come to repentance, right? In 2 Peter 3:9. But if the only reason we want more people to be saved is so that we could have more people sitting in our building or more people to help pay the bills, then our focus is off and our hearts are not right in the right place. You see, the key is not to focus on growing the number of people in attendance or our assemblies, but on growing in our ability to assimilate people into the family of God. There's a difference in the focus. It achieves the same thing, but the focus has to be right. Think about it. Look back at our example in Acts chapter 2. Did the Christians think to themselves, we need to go fill up our building? Or did they think to themselves, we just have to tell people the good news of Jesus? Well, it was the latter, wasn't it? You see, a healthy and lasting church and a healthy and lasting church growth is multidimensional in its growth. And in looking at our healthy church model here in Acts chapter 2, we see five facets of spiritual work. And if we pay attention to them too, they naturally lead to growth as a healthy church. And those five facets are growing warmer through fellowship, growing deeper through discipleship, growing stronger through worship, growing broader through ministry or service, and growing larger through evangelism. And when growth in these areas happen, the church will again be healthy in 2017, and we will grow because we're healthy. You think about a child when they're first born again. You know, the child is born healthy and you expect natural growth to occur. Some bumps may happen, a little bit of sickness here and there. But when the child is born sickly, the prognosis usually isn't so great until the child can become healthy again, if that is possible, if it's God's will. Well, again, look at our healthy church model. You know, we see that what the Christians were first up to there, right? I mean, they studied. They studied part of God's word was a part of, they studied the apostles' teaching. It was a part of their everyday life. They fellowshipped, they worshiped, they ministered to each other. And along the way, they evangelized. And look at the wonderful results there in verse 47. We're told that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so we see that God added the growth as the church did its part and focused on the right things. In other words, church growth is a natural result, again, of church health. And so to be a healthy church, our message and our mission must be biblical, and it must be balanced. And that means that our study and then our fellowship and our worship and our ministry and our evangelism must be in a state of equilibrium with the others in order for the church to be healthy. Because let's be honest, you know, that kind of balance doesn't occur naturally. And so we must continually monitor how we are doing and correct any imbalance. And I don't mean that necessarily congregationally, but I also mean that individually. Because it's basic human nature to overemphasize the aspect of the church mission and that we feel the most passionate about, or that meets our own personal needs. Say, well, I really love to do this. And that's great, but you see, that's where growth actually needs to come in. Our own individual personal growth. And how it works is that when we find ourselves not giving all that much attention to one or more of those particular areas that we talked about, whether it's worship or missions or evangelism or fellowship, you know, when we find that we're not, you know, working so much in those areas personally, well, then that's when we need to personally work harder in those areas in order for us to grow personally. And when we grow personally, well, then guess what? The body of Christ grows because, again, we're a part of it. Again, think of it like your body. If a part of your body isn't doing so well, you know, you got a dislocated shoulder, you know, maybe when you're young, well, it's not going to grow healthy. You know, you need to get it fixed up into place. Even when you're older, you get a dislocated shoulder, those muscles aren't going to work right. You need to get it fixed. You need to get it healthy. You need to work on those areas. Again, growth in all areas is important for the overall body to be healthy, individually and congregationally. All right. Another thing that we need to pay attention to is the fact that both quantity and quality are important in order to be a healthy church in 2017. So what do we mean by that? You hear those words thrown around a lot today. Well, when we talk about quantity and quality within the body of Christ, within the church, usually quantity is talking about the number of Christians that the church is developing, working on. And quality is talking about the kind of Christians that we're developing. You say, what kind of Christian? Well, what kind of Christian? Well, you see, it could be the case that a church family isn't developing really either quantity or quality when it comes to Christians. That there's no growth spiritually or numerically. And no one wants that. God doesn't want that. We don't want. We also don't want to run out and do some massive evangelistic campaign without having a structure in place to help new Christians to grow into Christ. Just think about that, what that would be like. Think about a husband and wife, for example, who maybe had 20 kids. And I know that there's some people back in the day that had 20 kids. But let's just say today, someone goes out there and says, hey, let's have a big family. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. So they start having children. But then the parents neglect them. It's like, well, have kids, let them sit in the room. They go, take care of yourselves, you know? Well, what good is that? That mom would be like the old woman who lived in the shoe. She had so many children, she didn't know what to do. All right? Kids aren't going to grow up healthy. They're not going to know what to do. So how can anyone measure then the quality of Christians that a church is developing? Well, seems to me the Bible gives us the answers. I like what John wrote in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6, where he says that whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. And so our lives should reflect the life of Jesus in all that we do, in our walk and in our talk and as we walk and what we talk about, right? And so we ask ourselves, are the people in the church being genuinely transformed into the likeness of Christ? Are we doing good jobs as teachers and preachers and leaders, you know? And are those individuals that are here, are they using their talents and service in ministry? Am I using my talent, service, and ministry? And I mean that just not me, but I mean you personally. You know, 1 Peter 4:10. Are people growing in their knowledge and use of the scriptures? Are they sharing their faith regularly with others? You know, the Apostle Peter encourages Christians in 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5, to do just that, telling them to make every effort. Don't be lazy about it. Don't say whenever you get around to it. Don't say whenever you have time. He says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. He says in verse 8, if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, if you're growing personally, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can know a whole lot of stuff, but not really do all much, you know? So these are just a few of the ways that we can measure the quality of that a church is developing with its people. But we really, again, can't have one without the other, can we? You see, when it comes right down to it, every church you want to grow in both quantity and quality. Now, I'll admit, I don't go fishing that much. I never was that much fond of it. I told you that once before. I used to go out, my dad would fly fish, and I'd always duck in the boat because I was afraid a hook would come flying in my eye. So, true story, okay? Let's go fishing, okay? Give me some goggles. I didn't wear glasses then, okay? Anyway, but think about it logically as a fisherman. If you did go fishing, do you want quality or quantity? Well, you really want both, you know? You want to catch the biggest fish you can and as much of it as you possibly can, okay? And so here at Orangevale, our goal should be to reach as many people for Christ as possible, but also to help those people become as spiritually mature as possible. Jesus, again, told us in Matthew 28, 19 and 20 to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And so, as we go out, and as we teach, and as we preach, and as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, and souls are baptized into Christ, we don't just leave people there, right? You know, we need to help develop those new Christians, to help them mature. And that always isn't just in a classroom. Classroom's important, but so is the rest of it, right? That fellowship, all right? By teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded the apostles, both in person and through his Holy Spirit in the rest of the New Testament. That's what folks need to learn in order to be effective and productive. And so as long as our lost souls out there in the wild, then we must care about both quantity and quality in order to be a healthy church in 2017. Another thing that we need to pay attention to is that the message and the mission must be our focus in order to be a healthy church in 2017. You see, there is a thought that people have been thinking. They've been thinking about this since the church began. And that thought is that in order to grow, you must somehow compromise the message and the mission of the church. And so Paul writes to Timothy while he was preaching at Ephesus to warn him that the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. That's 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4. That problem was happening in Paul's day, and it's happening in our day too. Without a doubt, there are examples of churches that have grown quite large with faulty theology, with shallow commitment. Say, yeah, you want me? Yeah, just come on in. Sit down. We're good. You know, by the way, don't forget to tithe. You know, you'll be fine. You know, just don't forget to give us that money and you'll be good. You know, by the way, we've got this little program over here. You'll be happy. That's it. So, you know, they don't have any commitment, really. There's some gimmick. And you know, hey, we've got 10,000 people. We're a mega church. No one's saved. But, hey, we got lots of people here. It's good. You know? Sadly, you know, when those churches pervert the gospel or deny the truth of God's word just to fill up their buildings and their bank accounts, well, we see that biblically, they aren't the church that belongs to Jesus Christ anymore. They're the church of whoever's rules they're now following. And the souls in those assemblies aren't Christians anymore, if they ever were. Now they're just called after whoever runs their church building or whatever it is. But the biblical model we see is to follow the rules of Jesus Christ. If you love me, you'll obey my commandments, Jesus says. And be the church that Jesus Christ died for and follow only him and therefore be a Christian. But get this, compromise is not only the wrong thing to do, it's simply not as effective as the truth. All those people thinking, yeah, we just need to soften up here and there, and Paul didn't really mean that what he said in 2 Timothy. No. So it's fine. We'll just soften up all the rules, you know, and everything will be, it will just grow. But that's a lie. The truth is more effective. For example, back in the gospel accounts, when we look at the preaching and teachings of Jesus, Jesus' ministry attracted enormous crowds. But why? Because he was the good news. He told people what it was like, and this is how it is. And the gospel of Jesus is still good news. And it has the power to attract lost souls. Think about what Jesus said back in John chapter 12 and verse 32. He said that when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. Jesus was crucified. He's up there on the cross, and all men come to him. And so a Christ-like church, preaching and teaching a Christ-like message, will have the same drawing effect. Think about it. Jesus drew such large crowds, so large that people couldn't find a place to sit. It was standing room only. They had to break in through ceilings to come see Jesus or climb trees to see Jesus. Often there wasn't enough food to eat when it became time to sit down and have a meal, all right? People came to hear Jesus in such large crowds, it literally took a miracle to feed them all. Think about that. Jesus drew some very large crowds at times in the thousands, but he never compromised the truth. Not once. He preached it just the way it is. Sometimes hard. Sometimes very straight. But he never compromised on the truth. Just look at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. It contains some very difficult teaching. Yet when Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him, it says in Matthew 8:1. And Jesus never watered down the message. As a matter of fact, Jesus constantly challenged people, saying things like, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me, Luke 9:23. He didn't go soft on people. We need challenges to grow. If you want to try to build muscle, any sort of strength, you have to challenge yourself. You have to go out there and work out, it said. You don't go down, I'm going to go to the gym and take a nap on that bench over there. I've seen people do that. I go to the gym. But that's, you're not going to get strong that way. You know, we need to be challenged. We need to get a spiritual workout. We need to go to Bible class, you know. We need to study on our own. Now, before we go too far, there's something that we don't want to get really confused about when it comes to unbelievers, visitors, you know, folks, and believers. Those are two very different groups. All right. And so believers really can't expect unbelievers to act like believers. You see, that's because it's our job as believers to invite unbelievers to come and see Jesus, like Philip and John 1:46, and to help show them the way. Right? And so as long as we're teaching and preaching and living Jesus as believers, then it becomes easier to get believers to come and check out the claims of the teaching of Christ. They don't want to come see, well, hey, you know, that sure is a nice little program you got over there. It's maybe not that Christ-like, but you know, they don't know that. But people aren't converted to programs, they're converted to Christ. Okay? So we need to make sure that we're always living and teaching Christ so we can invite people to come check out Christ, not just here, but in our lives. All right? Now, the flip side of that is that we should expect, and might I be so daring as to say, require, a major commitment from Christians who are a part of our fellowship. We should expect members to maintain a godly lifestyle and be involved in spiritual disciplines and to follow the leadership examples in our congregation, whether it's the men's business meeting or whatever we have, to engage in fellowship, to serve in ministry. And I don't mean in a labeled program, but in ministry in general, whatever it is, okay? To share in our faith and to give financially. And if a member of the congregation isn't quite living up to the standard that God asks of his people under the new covenant of Christ, then, well, maybe something should be done about it by the church family. We don't have an eldership, but if we did, they'd still be a part of the church family. So it's the church family that's responsible. You have people in your own family at home. You don't let them run around willy-nilly because you love them and care for them. All right? So it's our responsibility if we see someone not doing so well to help them out. That's both for the good of the individual and for the good of the church family as a whole. And that's because we can't grow as individuals or as a church by experiencing less, by expecting less of each other than God expects us himself. Think about that again. Let's say you're on a team and you're out there and let's say you're playing baseball, okay? So you go out there and this guy is cracking out a ball and he keeps missing. You say, you know, you played good the other day, what's wrong now? And so, I don't know. So you help him fix his stance, you get things going, because if you don't help him, if you don't get him, say, you made a run today. Let's try for two tomorrow. Let's try for three. Let's try for four. You got to keep pushing people and challenging people, or else we're never going to grow. You say, well, hey, you know, what kind of challenges are we talking about? Make your own personal challenge. Try Bible reading. It's the first of the year. Have some charts in the back. You can find Bible reading charts online. You can just start reading. I don't care if you make it through in a year. Just start reading if you don't read. And make that promise. Say, I missed today. Well, read again tomorrow. And well, I didn't read enough. Well, just read a little more tomorrow. Maybe you will finish. Maybe starting at Genesis is too hard. Read through the New Testament 5 times this year. Try it once at least. Make a goal and try for it. If you don't try, you're never going to grow. We've got to set the bar high enough to reach for it. We might not make it, but as we stretch to reach for it, we'll grow. Okay. Got to challenge each other to grow and to go. And that's because, again, you know, there are lost souls out there. And they are looking for something greater than themselves. And they are looking for something challenging and adventurous. And they are looking for something worth giving their lives to, for. And Jesus and his church are worthy of the commitment of our lives. But no one can truly commit to Jesus and his church if we don't tell them the truth about both. Don't hide things. Be straight about it. If you don't know the answers, find out. But that brings us up to another challenging point, and that is the problem of trying to be contemporary without compromising. There are a lot of things going on in the churches sometimes you hear about involving, let's say, women and homosexuals. And so on one hand, when those issues come up, you know, people are like, well, you know, they're all afraid, you know, about things, you know, because we are obligated to remain faithful to the unchanging word of God. On the other hand, we need to be able to minister in an ever-changing world. And sadly, there are congregations of the Lord's church who are unwilling to live within this tension. And so some have retreated to one of two extremes. One extreme is when a church feeling, fearful of worldly infection, go off and they retreat into isolation from today's culture. It's like if you're out there among people and people have colds, you can't be afraid to shake hands. You might as well hide in a closet until, I don't know, whenever. You know, put yourself in a plastic wrap or something. But if you're a congregation, if you're the Lord's church, you can't just retreat off from today's culture. You can't go hide. Because while doing that, they face the prospect of becoming irrelevant and eventually die. The opposite end of this extreme, of course, is that there are churches who are fearing that same irrelevance, there you go, are foolishly imitating the latest fads out there and the latest fashions out there in the world. And so they end up facing a worse fate, really, than the death of their congregation. They're facing the wrath of God. Ultimately, the message and the mission of the Lord's church must never change. But the methods for communicating the message need to change to some degree. That's why we have a website. That's why we're involved with World Bible School. They say, well, World Bible School is old. Yeah, well, they've changed. They're online. And anyone can be a part of it. The answers to the questions are there. Okay. You can be a part of evangelizing. It's pretty simple. All right. If you want to get involved again, see Virginia. She always has more than enough students to pass around. With each new generation, we need to go ahead and look at those different methods of communicating the message. And we need to be willing to change in order to be relevant and reach the lost with the good news of Jesus. Again, the message and the mission must always be our focus in order to be a healthy church. But those methods for communicating the message and the mission need to be adapted. Through it all, of course, it takes dedication, it takes skill, and God in order to be a healthy church in 2017. Now, I realize that a lot of what I've been talking about today almost sounds like, well, if we're just dedicated enough that the church will grow. And I look out, and you look up here, and we say, hey, we're dedicated! You know, about as dedicated as you could be. And dedication is important. But it's not enough, really, you know, because there are hundreds and thousands of ministers and church leaders and members who are working hard, faithfully around the country and the world. But in many cases, they see little or no evidence of spiritual or numerical growth in the church. And that can be quite discouraging. And so it's really an insult to say that the problem is a lack of dedication. So those of us who are dedicated, and we all know who we are, it's just about everybody I see, right? If not everybody, right? You know, I'm not trying to insult anybody, but you see, it takes more than dedication to lead a church to growth. And that's because on top of dedication, it takes some skills. Solomon writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 10 saying, if the axe is dull and its edge unsharpened, more strength is needed, but skill will bring success. Think about it. If you got yourself a pile of wood, and you know your work is going to go a whole lot faster and smoother to chop that stuff up if you have your axe and some skill. Because I'll admit, I tried chopping wood back when I lived in upstate New York near the Canadian border. I don't know how to do it. I still don't. That's okay, because I don't want to. All right? But someone who knows how to split wood and has a nice sharp axe and good at it, they're going to get it done in maybe 20 minutes while I sit back and record them. But, you know, that's a good mistake you made. I'll put that on YouTube. Anyway, well, see, the point is, though, is that we need to work smarter, not harder. Okay? And not just smarter, but doing whatever we're doing the right way. Again, think about it. We don't want to just do more things, but do more things the right way. And so if a method or an activity doesn't seem to be working, then doing more of it's not going to make it any better. Okay? Over in the book of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul called himself an expert builder of churches. 1 Corinthians 3:10. All right? So we must also try to do our best to learn to be an expert builder. And we do that by looking at the expert builders, you know, and use the right tools in the building up and the growing of our church family. And so let's say, I don't know, let's say we're really dedicated and we've got skills. In the end, really, though, we read in the scriptures, it's not you or me that adds any soul to the church. It's God. And so we must depend upon God in all this. Think about it. You know, all of our plans and whatever programs or procedures are just downright worthless without God's blessing and empowerment. And that's because church growth is really sort of a partnership between God and his people. Simply put, we can't do it without God, and even though God could do it without us, it's his plan to do it with us. And so what does all that look like again? Well, I kind of think of it like, let's say, I don't want to say you're God, but let's say you're God and you have a pen, and every Christian's a pen. Pen can't write on its own. Need God to help direct and guide it, right? All right, well, what does it look like in the Bible? How does it work? Well, let's take a look again at the scripture reading from this morning that Denver shared with us from 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm just going to read that again. 1 Corinthians 3, starting in verse 5. What, after all, is Apollos? What is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. In other words, you and me and God, we work together in a partnership. And so, you know, we have some folks who really are good at inviting folks, and some folks who are really a lot better at talking about the gospel, and some folks that are really, 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 really good at fellowship, and some that are really, really, really good at encouraging. And again, that means that if we feel we're lacking, we should try to grow in those areas. But still, while we have those folks in place, we all work together to help things along, to help reach out, to help grow the family of God. That's because, again, we're told we're all God's fellow workers. But ultimately, we do it because God has given us the word and because God has given us salvation through Jesus. And it's good news we want to share. Again, remember, that's the reason, that's our focus. It's because of the good news of Jesus Christ. Not just to add another tick to our registry. Now, when we think about this principle, again, we need to be careful to avoid a couple of extremes that tend to happen. One extreme is for us to assume that all of the responsibility for the health and growth of the church is ours. While the other extreme is to give up all responsibility for the health and growth of the church and pretty much do nothing. That's not how it works. Faith and works go together, okay? We have to do stuff. It's supposed to be a partnership like Paul spoke about in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 29. To this end, he says, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. Paul was given the talents and the skills and abilities to help the church to expand and to grow. And we can learn from the same things that he has been given in order to grow the family of God. And so over the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at that. Again, the church was born healthy back in Acts chapter 2. We saw how that growth really is important in all areas in order to be healthy and thrive in 2017. And so it's, again, maintaining both a quantity and a quality when it comes to developing Christians. And that's done by keeping the message and the mission the focus, the message and the mission from the scriptures. But even then, with all that dedication and skill that we say we have, or believe we have, that we collectively have, remember that it's God who makes it all possible. But that doesn't absolve us from doing anything. It just means that we need to acknowledge God as the one who gives us the ability and be good stewards of the abilities he's given us. That means that we all need to work together in that partnership with God in order to be a healthy church in 2017. And we could do it, but it's up to you and me and the person sitting next to you. But today, if there's someone here who's not yet a Christian, then we pray that you'll make that choice to obey the gospel, knowing this, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, which is why God sent Jesus to die on the cross so that we could have the forgiveness of our sins and be able to be reconciled with God and have the promise of heaven. And then realizing those truths, simply confess your faith in Jesus as the Son of God, repenting of your sins, and then be immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And when you do that, Scripture says you receive the promised Holy Spirit and you're saved. For those of us who are already Christians, well, the encouragement for us is to dedicate ourselves in 2017 to become healthy, mature, and growing individually and as a congregation. A congregation that turns seekers into saints, that turns the hurting into helpers, that turns consumers into contributors, that turns members into ministers, that turns an audience into an army for the Lord. So if there's any reason that anyone needs to come forward during the invitation song or maybe to be immersed in Christ, or maybe there's a prayer concern that you'd like to share, or maybe there's some other need, I'd like to encourage you to come as we stand and sing.